Good morning. It is Sunday, March 2nd, 2014. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. The 2014 Cow Patty Run is Saturday, March 14th at 5:45 p.m. at Gully Park in Fayetteville. This 5K and 1 mile fun run supports special education projects in Fayetteville schools through the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. Race registration and details available online at cowpaddyrun.com.
Ahead on this edition of Weekend Ozarks, we meet a cartographer on the Ozark Highlands Trail, just in time for spring hiking season. Plus, we take a Sunday drive to the roadside cafe, the Valley Inn, for a slice of their famous pie.
But first, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has a wrap-up of the week's top news in this morning's Week in Review.
The state Supreme Court heard oral arguments Thursday for the state's effort to impose a $1.2 billion fine against Johnson & Johnson. The state alleges the company intentionally hid risks associated with the antipsychotic drug Risperdal, and in the process defrauded the state's Medicaid program and Deceptive Practices Act. Walter Dellinger, former U.S. Solicitor General and Johnson & Johnson representative, disputed evidence of harm.
There's not been a single instance where the Arkansas Medicaid program or the Attorney General's office has ever made a determination that a prescription for Risperdal, written for a participant in and paid by the Arkansas Medicaid program, was medically unnecessary. The ensuing admissions say none were not for a medically accepted indication, none were improperly reimbursed.
But the state's special counsel, David Frederick, argued that sufficient evidence of harm exists.
Every one of the 238,000 prescriptions that were filled without truthful, accurate information about drug risks put a person's life at stake. Now, they complained that $5,000 for putting a person's life at stake. They concede that if it were done once, that would be fine. We'll pay that. It's only when they've done it 238,000 times that somehow that gives rise to a constitutional problem.
Arkansas did not participate in a federal settlement of only $1.39 billion to be dispersed among 45 states. While a few states have also taken their own route, several settled for hundreds of millions of dollars less than Arkansas. Other attorneys general are watching this case, and depending on the outcome, the case may find them assessing different means of agreeing to future settlements with pharmaceutical companies. In other health-related news, Governor Mike Beebe early in the week used a national stage to promote the state's private option expansion of Medicaid. More observers outside Arkansas are examining the unique plan of taking federal Medicaid money to buy private health insurance for poor Arkansans. Speaking to reporters Monday at an event in Washington hosted by Kaiser Health News, the governor spoke of the consequences to the state if funding for the private option isn't passed in the legislature.
I think the more realistic possibility is severe and draconian budget cuts in some essential services is likely to be the result if it didn't pass. But by its very nature, I think that potential harsh remedy may be one of the reasons why Speaker Carter and perhaps others have more optimism about it passing, including me.
The governor has said that an $89 million deficit in his proposed budget would result if the legislature refuses to reauthorize the program. Renewing funding for the program has already been approved by the Arkansas Senate. Though the impasse over continuing the private option does continue in the House, Arkansas legislators say they are closer to finding a way to get the 3/4 supermajority to reapprove the program before the end of the fiscal session. House Speaker Davey Carter says he's been meeting with private option opponents and Department of Human Services officials to find some middle ground to keep the program funded. Speaker Carter says that during the meetings, the issue of setting a specific time frame for people to enroll was raised.
It came out of those discussions. I mean, but again, this entire issue is so complex, not only open enrollment, just all of the things that go involved in health care and private option and dealing with, the Affordable Health Care Act and the mandates that we have. And if you make a decision here on its face, well, that causes... that has other effects.
Carter says amending the private option bill is still off the table, and that changes to the enrollment period would likely have to be handled by DHS and the federal government. Republican State Representative Bruce Cozart, who has been in talks with Carter, says his side wants to pass a state budget before the end of next week. That means the private option will have to be accepted in some form.
Are we going to make the program go away? I doubt it. I doubt if it'll ever go away. But I think we can work on it and tweak it and make it more efficient and maybe fix the problems of the people that are on it that probably shouldn't be on there and maybe get some kind of process going on that.
Cozart says he is still a no vote on the private option, though he also says some of the other 26 opponents may change their minds when a vote is expected early this week. And in business news, a third and what's expected to be the final wave of layoffs at Little Rock-based Axiom were underway this week. As Roby Brock with Talk Business Arkansas explained, it's part of ongoing changes at the company.
The database marketer has been continuing to kind of push to realign its workforce to meet some changing industry demands. Axiom used to have its big bread and butter was from those mailing lists for that direct mail you used to get to your mailbox. That's still the case, but that type of revenue has been on the decline for them as the internet has risen, and they're really having to shift their workforce to provide labor that understands much better how to target people via the internet, via Facebook, via Twitter, and that requires a little bit different skill set than what Axiom's traditionally done.
The cut in labor force is expected to save the company between $20 and $30 million annually. From the Harold and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.